You're listening to the Deal Farm Podcast with Ken Corsini, educating, inspiring, and connecting you to real estate deals. And now, your host, Ken Corsini.
Hey, this is Ken Corsini with The Deal Farm. On today's Best Deal Ever episode, I've got Chris Chico. Chris, how you doing?
I'm doing great. A sunny day in South Florida.
Fantastic. Probably a little bit humid, too.
Yes, exactly. It's not for the meek down here during the summer.
You're basically in the Caribbean when you're in the tip of South Florida in July.
Yes, I actually have no clue when people talk to me about, oh my God, it's snowing, it's cold. And I'm like, I have no idea what you guys are talking about.
Yeah, seasons? What are those? I don't know what seasons are.
Exactly. We have two seasons, hot and hotter.
That's right. That's right. Well, so Chris Chico is yet another one of my friends who is in our mastermind at Collective Genius. He's the founder of virtual wholesaling. So if you've ever heard that term on the internet, virtual wholesaling, Chris is the guy that coined it. He was the original godfather of virtual wholesaling. So he's done a bunch of business in the info marketing space. He also has a membership site called REI Vault that I'm a member of personally, and I can attest to the fact that it's a phenomenal platform for marketing and finding buyers. He teaches new investors. He works with experienced investors. He's just a wealth of knowledge when it comes to finding properties and being profitable in the real estate investing space. Chris, I would love to go all the way back to the beginning and just figure out, how did you get started before you built this empire?
So, you know, people always ask me that question, and I want to tell everybody my story, but at the same time, give everybody some things that they can walk away with regards to pivotal moments, I guess, that set me in a particular direction, and maybe how some of the listeners can maybe use some of that same the same pivotal moments and maybe the same resources that I got exposed to, and they could do the same as well. But you know, the short story is that, I mean, I'm from Puerto Rico, originally from Puerto Rico. I grew up in a, you know, literally, and I say this and people always say, is that really true when you say that? But I grew up in a house that had no running water. We had an outhouse in the back. So I always remember, you know, as a kid, you don't remember too many things. You remember like snippets of your childhood. But I do remember going with my mom to the outhouse in the middle of the night and having to wait, you know, 10 seconds for the, you know, bugs to kind of scurry along. And that way you could kind of, you know, do what you needed to do, et cetera. So not fond memories. But wow. I mean, that's really where I came from. And so we moved to Connecticut with my mom. And then eventually, you know, eventually made our way to South Florida. And I grew up, we didn't have a lot of money. We were on welfare and food stamps. And so it was always, I didn't feel like I, you know, always felt like I had what I needed, but I also saw that, hey, we were constricted by the lack of money and cash and everything. And so, you know, I did what everybody else thinks that they should do. And I say thanks because I'm not a big fan right now of college education and we won't get into that, but you know, unless you're going for a very specific degree, sometimes it's not the best ROI in terms of the amount of money you can make. But I went to college. I got a degree in accounting just simply because it seemed like the most logical business degree that I can walk away with doing, you know, something. And, you know, and I've tried, I got to tell you that I've tried a bunch of stuff. I used to, you know, I was an accountant, which lasted about 6 months because I hated it. I have been involved with multi-level marketing. I was involved in telemarketing, everything from vacation packages. And excuse me, I was telling my friend of mine the other day about an interesting, you know, just to give you an idea of all the kind of stuff I've done. I used to remember I got involved with this company that they would sell cash register receipts. You know, back in the days before the iPads and all the other fancy stuff, you know, people had cash registers with a roll. Mm-hmm. And we would call the supermarket and make believe that we were their regular vendor, right, for cash register receipts. Oh, and we give them a great deal. And we said, well, we got to get this thing delivered to you today or tomorrow. And they would get it. They would be happy with it. Then all of a sudden, they'd be like, wait, this is not a regular company. And we got cash receipts for like the next 2 years.
That's hilarious.
But through all that, you know, I saw an ad in the paper for how to become a real estate agent, and I went and interviewed. I thought it was an interview, but it was really just a pitch for me to go get my license. So I got my license. I was a real estate agent, and actually I failed miserably. I used to have this Transam. Remember the days of Knight Rider, right? I used to have that car. But I cleared out all the catalytic converter, so right, so it could go faster back in the days when they had all that stuff, you know. And so literally when you turn on the car, it sounded like as if you were like right next door to the Indy 500.
Oh my
right?
gosh.
And I was about 140 pounds back then. I'm a little heavier than I should be right now, but still 140 with a big old suitcase. And I showed up to people's houses with this car that just made this noise, right? And I tried to get them to convince them to list their house with me. And I was my manager, who I still stay in touch with back then. He said, "Chris, I never told you this, but I was in shock whenever you came back to the office and somebody gave you their biggest asset and they gave it to you to list." I was like, "Holy crap, I can't believe somebody did that."
And you didn't even look like David Hasselhoff.
Exactly. Oh, no way. So anyway, you know, what happened is, I'm trying to condense that, but I ended up getting the opportunity. I was a real estate agent. I really sucked being a real estate agent. I was on the phone making cold calls and all this other stuff that you do as a real estate agent, but really wasn't that great at it. And so I had this opportunity to go work to get an account for REOs for the banks.
Oh, yeah.
Or that. Mm-hmm. Yep. So that kind of started that little bit of a journey into real estate investing. So I was doing REOs, helping the bank sell their properties. And there was one particular investor that was buying a lot of the deals. I became friends with them, and I didn't really know what was happening behind the scenes after I sold him the property. But he said, "Hey, why don't you come work for me, and I'll teach you the ropes." And so that was, you know, you always think about life and you think about like pivotal moments, you know, decisions that you make in your life mm-hmm. that take your life in a particular direction. You know, I think about my mom moving down here and to South Florida. And if that didn't happen, I wouldn't have met my wife. I wouldn't have my kids that I have now, et cetera. And then I remember that, you know, when that investor said, "Hey, why don't you come work for me?" And so I kind of took the chance, a leap of faith, and I went to work with him. And then, so that was one of those turning moments. And so I went to work with him, and you know, I learned a few things in that process. I learned, number one, the importance of having a mentor, because the importance of having a mentor, accelerating your progress, and then being able to see the big picture. Even though the short-term picture isn't really there. And so the importance of a mentor, meaning that, you know, literally every day I was able to go to him and say, "Hey, what about this deal? What about that deal? Does this work? Does that work?" And having that input and having that ability to go back and forth to somebody, I think was really instrumental for me to learn the business. Accelerating your progress, I learned that because I helped him buy. I was only with him for a year. I helped him buy about 50 houses. He had a couple people like me that were helping him along, but I was instrumental in buying him and helping him buy about 50 houses that I was directly involved with. But if you think about it, you know, to buy 50 houses, I would have had to have looked at and brought him hundreds of houses, right? Mm-hmm. Just to get to that 50.
Sure. Yeah.
And so doing those 50 houses in a year compressed the amount of knowledge that I got. So instead of doing, you know, I say, you know, if a typical investor does a deal a month, then to do 50 houses, then I got the experience of 3 or 4 years in a year, right? So that
absolutely
kind of compressed that time frame. And then the other thing is seeing the big picture, because, you know, he made a lot of money. I didn't make any money. I mean, I think that year I was getting paid like $1,000 a deal, $1,200 a deal. Mm-hmm. So I made like 50 grand, you know, mm-hmm. by working with him, which is less money that I was making as an REO agent.
Hmm.
So because as an REO agent back then, you know, I was making probably in the low six figures, maybe 120, 130, which is back then was pretty good money. This is talk about year 2000 and so. But so I made less money with him, but I saw the bigger picture. In essence, look, I got to make the sacrifice now because I know that this is going to help me set up for the future. And then what happened is the transition happened that we were buying a lot of deals from REOs and the banks.
Mm-hmm.
And then I saw that the banks were getting less inventory because the market was hot. So less properties were going to the auction. And I thought, you know, I need to go after private owners. And so I left him And I said, I'm going to do it on my own with the intention of going out and I just thought of a funny story. I'll share the story, but with the intention of going out and doing it on my own. And I had been kind of doing that a little bit with them, kind of testing on the side. Like I was helping them with REOs, but at the side, I was like doing some mailings and kind of testing some things out. And, you know, back then, we have RealQuest now and ListWorks, but there was, I forgot what the other software that they had back then. And I remember, I remember I was downloading records, right? while on the company clock, and I didn't know any better. And then one time the owner of the company just comes in like, man, like, we just got our data bill this month and it's huge.
Oh no, he had the subscription and you were using it. Oh yeah, my
they were
gosh.
Charging per record. And I was like, oh yeah, that I don't know. That's really interesting. But we should find out and get to the bottom of this.
Playing around. I have no idea what you're talking about.
Right. So anyway, I never told that before, but it just came to me. So
that's hilarious.
Since I'm opening my soul to you, Ken.
That's right.
No, I might as well just lay it all out on the line.
You're laying on a couch, right? Just letting it all out.
Yeah, exactly. Okay. So I went and did it on my own. And then again, you know, I was doing it on my own and really not having any success. I was doing postcards, you know, we buy houses, cash, and everything else. And so what happened is I got introduced back in the days when I was doing real estate in, as a sales agent. I was following this guy, Craig Proctor, who's a guy that teaches real estate agents how to be successful. And I was studying him. And studying his marketing, and he mentioned a guy by the name of Dan Kennedy, and so that led me through the path of finding out who this guy Dan Kennedy is and learning about direct response marketing. And if I could say the one thing, you know, you think about learning about real estate, and yeah, that's definitely been a tremendous asset for me to learn real estate. But if I think about if there was one skill that I've learned that has transformed almost everything I do. It would have to be learning direct response marketing and learning how to really create a message in the written version, in the written form, whether it be a web page or a postcard, that'll get somebody to take action on the other side. And the one book I would recommend to everyone is Dan Kennedy wrote a book called The Ultimate, I think it's called The Ultimate Sales Letter, from Dan Kennedy. And that was the one book that I got me started. So if I would recommend one thing, I would recommend Dan Kennedy, The Ultimate Sales Letter. You can buy it on Amazon. It's a very short book. Yeah, The Ultimate Sales Letter by Dan Kennedy. And that was the one book I read that I used to try to figure out how to write postcards and how to write materials and everything else. And because what happened is he was selling courses, but he was selling courses for $300 and $400. And I was broke. I didn't have money for the $300 course, but I had money for the $10 book on Amazon. So I use that, and I would say I would highly recommend that book. And then what happened is that I started to test some of the principles. That's how I got started with using 24-hour recorded messages and started testing the postcards in different ways and that sort of thing. And it was interesting because, you know, it taught me gave me perspective on the idea of kind of the snowball effect, because I had not been making that much money. You know, I was making a couple thousand dollars a month, just really struggling to try to find my way and everything else. And so I remember that it was like from a period of August of that year, you know, I started on my own around January. Then August is really when things started. I started to do marketing and started to test things. And then all of a sudden, now, the marketing started to take off. So I went from making a couple thousand dollars a month to making $20,000 a month to then all of a sudden, 6 months later, you know, I made the most money I've ever made at the time in 1 month, which is like, I think, $110,000. And it was interesting because it taught me the fact that, you know, sometimes you persevere and sometimes you do things, you don't really see the results right away. And you just have to kind of keep on plowing through. And then in the end, just kind of the dam breaks and everything just kind of happens. And that's really what my experience was. And the way that virtual wholesaling came about is because we were doing deals here, but I knew other people in other parts of the country were doing deals as well. And then the market down here in South Florida started to slow down. And I said, well, if I'm doing stuff down here, I mean, what's stopping me from doing stuff in other markets? So I said, well, I know that I can do the marketing, the postcards, I can get the list, I can mail it over there. And what I did, the first market I tried was Jacksonville. And I went to and I went to Jacksonville, Florida. I dropped the mail in Jacksonville, Florida, which and then I took a I went there and I tied up like 10 properties, right? Because I thought they were great deals because everything in South Florida was really expensive. And I went to Jacksonville and everything was like $20,000. I said, oh, my God, I'm going to make a killing over here, right? Because this is so cheap. They don't even know it. And I went there and learned a few things. I dropped into a market. And I said, I'm going to go there, look at all these properties, take a drive by the market, and then I'll know everything about the market, right? Like the back of my hand. Well, I realized that I went in to the, and it was funny because I dropped in, they gave me a Jaguar, which not the best car to go when you're driving around like really crappy neighborhoods, right?
Yeah.
And as you're driving around really crappy neighborhoods. You
get a bullseye on your back.
Yeah, and you stick out your hand with a camera as you're trying to take a picture, and people are sitting on the front porches wondering, who is this white guy with a Jaguar? A picture of my house. So I did that, drove around all day. And in the end, I couldn't remember a damn thing. I couldn't remember the first house or the second house. Thank God I took pictures. But, you know, and then I realized, and then I tried to sell these properties, and then I realized that all the deals I thought were deals were really not really deals. They were like just like regular houses that people buy because the market was that price, there was that price point. And then in 1 week, I had to call back 10 sellers and let them know that I couldn't buy their houses, which is a great experience because, like, if you think about, you know, again, accelerating your progress, I got the experience of telling, you know, having people be angry at me all in 1 week. So I got that out of the way. And then, And then through trial and error, that's how I learned, you know, I figured out the buyer part, how to go in and put a list of buyers of the recently purchased a property and building the list. And so so that's kind of how the whole virtual wholesaling started. And what I did is that, and we had discussed this a little bit, you and I, but I learned very quickly that although I could talk to sellers and buyers, that I actually didn't really like talking to buyers and sellers, right? Mm-hmm. And so what I ended up doing is I ended up getting other people involved to help me with that side of the business. And so I ended up taking and expanding on that. So what I ended up doing is I ended up going into a variety of different markets and then doing the marketing, creating the buyers list, and just kind of being the overseer of that process. And then in the end, you know, I was making a part of every deal. It was about 50%, give or take. But in the end, I wasn't talking to any buyers or any sellers at all. And just kind of using, just being the marketer. And then that's really when I think the transition in my head happened that, yeah, I can talk to buyers and sellers. But really, my role was to kind of put the systems in place, put the marketing in place, and then get others that are willing to do that part of the business to come in and help. And then what ended up happening is that I was training those people, right? And so I had somebody in my office, I had an office, and I had somebody doing the mailings and doing the postcards and doing the websites and then everything else. And so I started creating all these little video tutorials on teaching this staff how to do it and organizing everything. And so the way it came about that I started teaching was I literally just took all my materials and I uploaded it to a website. And then started offering to people. So it wasn't I decided to create a course and let me write, you know, these are the videos. It was like, I just took all my material. And I remember back then, most of the time when you bought a real estate course, you bought like the courses and they gave you the manuals and the DVDs and all that other stuff. Mm-hmm. But it was like, I didn't want to do that. I was too lazy. And I was like, who the hell wants to do all that? So I just took all this stuff and uploaded. So I think I was one of the first guys out there in our niche that actually offered a digital course. And the guy shall remain nameless, but I went to a guy's seminar that I had known, and I told him, hey, I'm going to create a course, but I don't want to do any of that BS, you know, the book, the DVDs, that's all, like, I don't have the patience for that. So I'm just going to upload it, create a membership site. And he told me, oh, that's not going to work. I'm going to tell you right now, people want DVDs and books and they want a lot of stuff. And I'm like, I don't want that stuff. So why would anybody want that stuff? And so in the end, it worked for me. And so then now, you know, when people ask me, what do I do today? And it's funny because, you know, this is something that I've really learned about myself for the last couple months, really, is that I don't consider myself a real estate investor. I don't consider myself an info marketer. I really consider myself, I put together a platform that allows me to help new people starting out in the business and be able to get their first couple deals under their belts. Then help those people as they migrate to an experience level and how to them help them grow and scale their business. And I also, that platform also allows me to do deals as well, so that I can also still be active in the market and still, you know, have make money doing real estate, But I'm not the guy talking to buyers and talking to sellers and everything else. And I think that the foundation of that, of all that, it still boils down to direct response marketing. You know, learning how to market, learning how to sell, I think is a foundation of everything, because that helps me in the business of teaching people, in the business of doing deals and creating marketing that works and all that other stuff. And so that's, I don't know if that was a little too long-winded, but I tried.
No,
you know,
incredibly interesting. I mean, because the truth is, you know, I know you, we've met before, and I'm even a member in REI Vault, but I was actually really curious to kind of hear how you got started and how you grew to where you are now. And so it was a really intriguing story. I mean, and that, I think that's how a lot of people start out. They start out small, and it's like you said, it's all about perseverance. If you start and you don't succeed, do you quit? Or do you keep plugging ahead? And in your case, you kept sending, you know, these postcards. And even though you failed in Jacksonville, you still went ahead and expanded into other markets, and you trained people and you persevered. And eventually you figured out the combination. You sort of cracked the code, and then it really started paying off for you. I think that's a lesson for everybody.
Exactly. And, you know, the biggest lessons that I learned back then, and actually I learned those lessons, and then I kind of forgot about those lessons. And over the last couple of years, and especially the last year, I've really understood what those lessons were, because I came back to them. Is you know, number one is not doing it yourself, not trying to be your own doctor. And by that I mean that, when we're trying to figure out problems in our business, in our personal life, and everything, that many times we try to be our own doctor. We're trying to figure out our own problems. And it's difficult for us to do that because we're blinded because of how we see the world and our perspective. And so one of the things that I feel that is critical for me now, and it's part of the reason I belong to the mastermind group that you and I belong to, and the fact that I pay a lot of money toward coaches and mentoring right now, is the fact that I realize that I can't be my own doctor. I have to figure out how to do this, but why not use the experience and the insight of others in order to be able to do that? And I always give the example from a mentor of mine, is that, you know, if you look up at the evening sky every night, you look up and all you see is, you see a bunch of stars and it looks nice and pretty and you think nothing of it. But if then tomorrow night you looked up at the evening sky and you saw, and you looked at it with an astronomer, and he pointed out the planets and he pointed out the constellations and the comets and everything about that sky and how it all worked, then every other night after that, the evening sky will never ever look the same way to you again. Because what you have now is you have a different perspective. The sky hasn't changed, but your way of looking at that sky has changed. And to me, that's the thing that I strive to most right now, is what is it that I'm not seeing? What is it that I'm not seeing about myself, about my business, and about my current situation? And how can I get somebody else's input? And I always kid around, and I said, Ken, if you told me today, if you said to me, Chris, you know, I hate talking to you. You are such, every time I talk to you, I feel like I just want to just go out and run into the highway, into incoming traffic, and just, you know, just have somebody hit me, right? Some people, if you said that to someone, they would say, oh, Ken, you know, you're such an idiot, you're stupid, and I don't like you, you're a horrible person. Why would you even say that to me? You know what I say? I say, you know what? Maybe Ken is right, and I just don't see it about myself. Maybe I am that person, right? And I'm saying this comically, but maybe I am that person that everybody hates, but I'm just so blinded by my own, you know, blinders and way of seeing the world that I just don't see it. So I'm always looking at, hey, what am I missing? What's the perspective about a situation, about a circumstance that I can look at? And I think that you can apply that to your business. So if you're looking at your business and you're having a struggle, and you're thinking, well, I can't get this to work, and maybe you're struggling with a marketing or maybe getting leads or whatever the case may be, what happens is a lot of times we go out and we look for another tool. We feel, hey, you know, I'm trying this system and it doesn't work. Let me go out and find another system. Okay, well, that didn't work. Let me go out and find. So you get into this perpetual finding of tools and systems and software. But in the end, if you kind of loop back, it may be that that system that you're trying right now has every single bit of potential to work and to really make your dreams a reality, but you're just not seeing it. And you need somebody else to come in from the outside and give you a different perspective so that then you could get the result that you want.
Yeah, that's interesting, because you'd mentioned having like business coaches and personal coaches, and that's not something we've ever talked about on the Deal Farm. I mean, there's a lot of coaching programs out there and there's mentoring, but this is different. What does it look like to have a business coach?
You know, I call it He's my business shrink, right?
That's good.
So it's interesting because the guy that I work with is he's made me realize, just I'm trying to think about what are some of the things that he's worked with me on. You know, like for example, he gave me this perspective, and I'll share this with everybody because I think what he's helped me with is that we all have a place that we want to be at in the future. But we don't realize that we have a lot of obstacles, and a lot of those obstacles are all self-perpetuated, right? And so my personal example, and so this is, you know, for me, was that I used to do a lot of seminars, and I used to do a lot of teaching, and I curtailed that, and for whatever reason, I didn't really, you know, I thought it was particular reasons that I did that, but then I really understood the reasons why I had done that. And it was because of an issue of self-worth. And by that, I mean that I stopped doing seminars because in my mind, I felt that I needed to be the guy doing, you know, 20 deals a month. Otherwise, I wasn't worthy of being on stage or being worthy of teaching people, right? Mm-hmm. As an example. Mm-hmm. And so what he said to me that made a lot of sense, he said to me, Chris, if you're doing, and this is something for everybody to really think about, and I'll explain to you why it's really important. If you think, he says, Chris, if you were doing 25 deals a month and I bought your system and I've made no money, nothing, I lost money. He says, I don't give a damn how many deals you're making because you know what? I didn't have any results. And so it doesn't matter to me. On the other side, if you were doing no deals, you absolutely had done no deals for the last year, and I took your course and system and I bought it and I made, you know, $500,000. I don't care either that you're not doing any deals, because what I care about is my end result. And when he said that to me, I realized that I had so many people, and even in our own mastermind, we have that as well. We have so many people that are successful real estate investors now because of my materials, because of what I taught them. Sure. And so many people every day come to me and said, you know, a guy on Facebook the other day reached out to me and said, hey, by the way, I'm a successful guy here in San Diego, and I got started with your course and your direct mail system and everything else. And he made me realize that about that my way of thinking, that frame, was not correct. And I say that because when I think about people starting out right now and getting into the business, you have to be careful also about the model that you look at, right? So in other words, you might go and look at someone and they're doing 40 deals a month. But if you haven't made your first deal, the obstacles that you have that you need to overcome are significantly different than somebody that's doing 10 or 15 deals. And so you have to be attentive to the fact of, you know, of seeking the right help. Because for example, you may have somebody that helps you get your first couple deals under your belt and they're great. And then now you have to figure out, okay, who's the next person or what's the next thing that I need to look at to get me to then that next level of 10 or 15 deals a month. And sometimes they're the same, but sometimes they're completely different. An example is, you know, we have two programs. We have a program, I teach people how to get their first deal, but then I have a program, which is the one that you're involved with, REI Vault, that is only specifically for experienced investors. But it really is, there's a bridge there between them. And I can't bring in one person from one to the other because there's a mismatch. And so I say all that because it's like I tell people is that it's just making sure of the path you follow. And going back to your original question, you know, this my personal coach helped me see that. He helped me see a lot of other things more than I can talk about in just one call, because I meet with him twice a month by phone, and we go back and forth, and it's just really somebody that helps and guides me and helps me make decisions, help me clarify things. And for me, that's been really invaluable, the amount of progress I've made from a personal level over the last 6 months versus what I was stuck at, you know, for years, is really have been amazing. And not to hijack the conversation, but I want to give a little piece of advice. This is a bit more not real estate related, but I would encourage everybody here to keep a journal. And everybody says, keep a journal, and you kind of dismiss it. And I would tell you for two really important reasons why to keep a journal. The first reason is that when you're thinking about things and you're trying to flesh things out in your mind, writing them down is another form of thinking. And to me, that helps in crystallizing your thoughts and helping you think through things. But most importantly, is that I have a stack in my office of journals that go back to 2003. And what's interesting is that my ability to go back a year and 2 years and read through my journals and then come back and say, Chico, what the hell's wrong with you? You're dealing with this issue, the same issue you were dealing with last year at the same time because you see it in your journal.
Right.
That really gives you perspective because our memory is very foggy. You know, I could barely remember what I did yesterday, much less a year ago. But, you know, to me, those are some of the things. And so I know that these don't deal with real estate particularly, but I think that, the you know, yes, it's easy to buy a course and easy to buy a system. But I think that you have to think in terms of what are the other things that are missing that are going to help, because I firmly believe that the tactics are 20% of your success and the 80% of the rest of the success is the mindset that you apply to those tactics in order to help you be successful.
I think that's spot on. And I guess really hiring a business coach is the type of the type of move you make to help point out that reality to yourself that, hey, my mindset is wrong. I'm chasing this as hard as I can. It's like chasing your tail and I'm not getting anywhere. And a business coach or even just a mentor can help potentially unlock you from where you're stuck. And also in regards to the journal, I 100% echo that as well. Keeping a journal has been a big part of what I've done for the last so many years, even just prayers, things that I want to see accomplished, things that I want to see done, and to be able to go back, you know, 2 years, 3 years, 4 years, and see where things have changed. Or like if you've specifically wanted to see progress in an area and you've seen it, then there's either you can celebrate the fact that, oh yeah, I wanted to be here and I am here now and look at this accomplishment. Or like you said, I'm stuck in the same thing 2 years later. What's my problem? And you can take it to a business coach. Chris, man, I really appreciate your candidness with us and your humility, because it takes a lot of humility for somebody that's as successful as you to point out that, you know what, there's a lot of times you don't have the answer, and it's okay to admit that. It's okay to ask for help from people and insights. And you know, the story about, you know, somebody coming to you and saying they don't like you. Well, most people would bow up and say, I'm not interested in being your friend.
Right.
But to turn that around and say, you know what, I'm going to take a closer examination of myself to see if maybe there's some truth there. That takes a lot of humility, and I appreciate that. This has been such a good conversation. It's funny. It almost doesn't seem relevant to talk about a best deal ever. Yeah, I'm going to skip that part. I mean, I don't think it's worth it. I think the conversation on perspective and, you know, getting to where you want to be is way more relevant than talking about a best deal ever. Because for you, it's interesting, because listening to your entire story, it's we didn't really once talk about a deal, really. It wasn't about deals. It was about methods and processes and putting the right people in place and having the right mindset and persevering. All those are just timeless principles that, you know, I'm just not sure it's relevant right now to talk about a specific deal.
Yeah, I mean, it's hard because even I don't have any specific deal that sticks out. I mean, I would just go back and say my biggest piece of advice is learn marketing, learn direct response marketing, because that Absolutely. Is the foundation that will allow you to. I think of it this way. I know we're trying to wrap up the call, but I think of it this way. If you have to develop in yourself the ability to be able to, that if everything was taken away from you today, and if real estate was no longer reality, how would you go about regenerating income and putting yourself in a position where you can take care of yourself and your family? Mm. And to me, real estate is a strategy, right, associated with that, but it's not the business model, which is a little bit higher up. So my business model is becoming and continuing to become a great marketer, which then I could use that on the strategy of real estate investing, the strategy of selling information products, and the strategy of offering services. But those things are secondary to the bigger picture of how do I increase my ability to sell people and convince people to my way of thinking, which is what effective direct mail response marketing does.
To that point, let's talk about where people, obviously people are going to listen to this. They're going to be interested. Okay, maybe you're a newbie and you want to just get started, or maybe you're experienced and you want a platform for marketing. Where do we send people?
You know, the best site to go to would be flipanywhere.com. So flip as in flip houses, and anywhere as in you can do it anywhere. Flipanywhere.com. And we have a blog there with a lot of different resources, for a lot of free materials, and you can have access to and get more information about maybe some of the products if you want to become a student of ours. And, you know, we'll do whatever we can to help and guide you in any way we can. And our belief is that we're always going to give you the best advice, even if it means, hey, we're not the best people for you. You're better off going here. We'd rather do that because in the end, I mean, if you search my name under Google, I mean, I very difficult to find any negative reviews because I always try to do the best for people, regardless if it makes us money or not.
Well, and let me attest to the fact too, now that I've been a member for a couple of months in REI Vault, that it's a phenomenal platform. I mean, what they've put together for marketing, and I already had a lot of the similar things set up internally, but it was worth it to me to join the membership site just for all the additional tools and custom development they've put into it and the support. I mean, I'm on the phone with Gary or whoever I need to be whenever I need it. I mean, the support is fantastic. Yeah. So let me just put a plug in there for REI Vault for you experienced investors as well.
And they can find out more about them when they go to flipanywhere.com.
Yeah. So again, the website is flipanywhere.com. We'll put it on the show notes. If you guys have any questions about that, feel free to reach out to Chris or his team. Chris, man, thanks so much for being on the show. This was great.
Hey, thanks for having me, Ken.
All right. Talk to you soon. Hey, Deal Farm podcast listeners, this is Ken Corsini with a special offer. If you go to our website right now, dealfarm.net, you have the ability to download our new blueprint. It's called 30 Days to 10K. It's basically the exact blueprint you need to start profiting from wholesaling real estate right now. It's the resources, it's the websites, it's the services that we use. I've even included my exact postcard that I send out. Basically everything you need to start getting deals in the next 30 days. Again, it's at our website, dealfarm.net. Check it out, you can download it for free. Also, we still have our free t-shirt offer. If you want a free Deal Farm podcast t-shirt, just subscribe through iTunes to our podcast and give us a 5-star rating, and then go through our website, contact us, give us your name, address, and t-shirt size, and we will send you a t-shirt in the mail immediately. As always, thanks so much for listening to The Deal Farm. We'll see you on the next episode. Take care.